It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. And after searching and looking in the back of my milk carton, I found my man, Jeff Sika from Sika Wealth Management, as well as Circle Squared Alts. My man, where you been, my brother? What's up?
Hey, Todd. Well, it's great to be back on with you. It is one of the highlights of my life. So I can't believe it's been as long as it's been. But I'm just really grateful that I'm back on with you.
Well, I love having you on, man. You know, listen, the only time I get to see you now, I get to watch you on Varney. You know, and it's
well, I get to watch you too. So
it's been really you've been really bearish on the markets as well as I have, and of course you are now the official bear on Varney, and they usually have you on about almost every Friday to come and talk about what the hell's wrong with this market. So let me ask you, what the hell's wrong with this market?
Well, and I think one of the most obvious elements of this particular market is, I saw an article the other day. And it was, I won't even name the name of the publication, but it was a popular financial publication. And the article was, has the market bottomed? And I see that, and it leads me to a place that people have become so unbelievably complacent and spoiled with this rally, that there are people, reputable people out there, that believe that we're somewhere near a bottom when a market is flat. That's where I think the irony of this rally is. Now, yes, it is true. I've been calling for a correction for quite a while, and that I've stuck with that primarily because I'm very geared in on things like earnings and real economic data, not necessarily government economic data. And the delta between the macro economy and earnings and where the stock market is far too great for me to feel any level of confidence that there's any sustainability in this market. So I've said it for a few years now, and I believe this market, most of the appreciation in this market has been artificial. The economic recovery is not a recovery at all. It's been fictitious in so many ways. Small pockets of improvement here or there, but nothing to sustain a market that keeps approaching new highs. Even with the recent sell-off, we're still not that far off of the all-time high when you think about it.
No, I mean, the markets are brutal. President Obama can come out all he wants and talk about what a great job he did with jobs. Jobs suck, okay? I mean, when you're talking about creating a bunch of $8, $9 an hour jobs, I mean, that is a total farce that anybody would even think that that's improving the economy. I mean, I don't know. What do you think of the jobs market?
Oh, I think that in and of itself is represents the highest level of deception by the U.S. government in these economic reports, where we lose massive amounts of, as you've said, for over a year now, you've been saying, in manufacturing, and replace those jobs with some of these lower paying service jobs. To me, and counting them as jobs, what I see, I just see this trend of people losing their good paying job and having to replace it with two lower paying jobs. And the Obama administration counts that as creating jobs. I mean, to me, there is no jobs recovery. You could, and I said it back when the unemployment rate was much higher. I said, if you keep increasing the number of individuals who don't participate in the labor force, you could bring that number down to full employment, and that's exactly what's happened. Where it looks like on the surface that we have this jobs recovery, there is no jobs recovery. Savings rates, hourly earnings, those are all declining immensely. And all this conversation about the minimum wage debate, I mean, if you see, especially if you look at what's happened at some of the restaurants like Wendy's that are replacing workers with kiosks, and they're trying to automate more of the services that they hired people to do. Well, that's a response to these minimum wage, this minimum wage controversy. We're going to just continue to see manufacturing jobs eliminated, and service jobs are going to become eliminated as well, because a lot of those people are going to be replaced. So you can't look at the jobs market and say that we've seen any improvement whatsoever. You could look at the jobs market and see how dismal things are right now, and how the government has become so disconnected with reality, where they barely talk about the fact that there's such structural weakness in the employment picture. 94 million Americans are out of the labor force, and a good percentage of those 94 million have just given up, and I think that's a problem.
I think it's a huge problem, and that creates the bigger problem. You mentioned it. Wendy, 6,000 robots they're putting in. McDonald's is not far behind. They've already tested it. Burger King. So all of those jobs that were actually originally meant for, you know, high school and college students that were just trying to make some extra spending money, those were not meant to be careers, right? So now you're eliminating those. Where are all these people going to go? Where is the money going to come from to survive?
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, to me, it's there's all this conversation about the uprising against the status quo. And it's a political, if you look at the political picture, that's become what's most obvious. People are looking at this, and I think if you have any amount of common sense and you have any idea of what it's like to run a business, and you put that on that business, that now, you know, you're trying to make your margins, you're trying to employ people, you're trying to grow your company, and now the government comes and gives you a number that is non-sustainable. You're obviously not going to hire people, or you're going to try to automate that job, or you're going to try to get around it primarily because it's unsustainable, and it's a complete disconnect with reality. Companies want to hire people. They want to hire people. They want to grow. I mean, yes, there are companies that don't pay enough, but this is a free economy. If you upgrade skills, you could get paid more. And I think this was a political maneuver to get votes, and I think it's going to backfire on the overall economy, because look at the unemployment rate among young people. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many resumes I get in here of college graduates, well-qualified, looking for work. They got to go out and take two jobs till they find a job, usually a waiter job or a waitress job, until they find a job and another job during the day to make the type of money that they need to make before they go into their career, what they've studied for. They have college debt up to their eyeballs. And you look at the type of money that they're going to be making.
Hold that thought, Jeff. College debt up to their eyeballs, I want to talk about, but this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with my guy, my missing person, my friend, Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alts. I call him the advisor's advisor because the man knows more than anybody. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure if you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, you can download the Bubba Show every day. We're now over 225,000 downloads a month. We want to make it 300. We need you. Get there. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
When love runs high in this time, give it to me easy. Let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun.
traders. We've all bought books. We've all searched the internet. We're all looking for that magic formula. Well, I want to make available to you today my book, Bubba's Guide to Trading Options, absolutely free. Your only cost will be $9.95 for shipping and handling. The book will take you from the beginning of options trading to the end, giving you all types of market conditions, all types of scenarios. And the book acts as its own textbook, because at the end of each chapter is a quiz to make sure that you're grasping what we're trying to teach you. It gives you the best idea of how markets really work, how they work in panic scenarios, how they work in bull markets, bear markets. It gives you all the details of how to best use options for your goals and how to accomplish it. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and go to my free book, $9.95 for shipping and handling, and that's all you need to do. Go to bubbatrading.com and get Bubba's Guide to Investing in Options. Bubba's Investment Suite, the only tools you'll ever need to be a successful options trader in this business, is go to my Bubba's Investment Suite. It's available to you on the BubbaTrading.com website under Bubba's Investment Suite. It offers all types of services that can help make you more profitable, give you a better chance to realize your potential, allowing you to make gains while also understanding that not every trader is a winner. So you have to make sure that you come in and learn the Bubba way and learn how to protect your portfolio, how to better manage it, how to better trade it. And you go to BubbaTrading.com and go to Bubba's Investment Suite. We meet once a week, and plus it gives you all opportunities to get and learn the option model better to make you a better trader. Just go to BubbaTrading.com right now, to Bubba's Investment Suite. Check it out. We'll see you there. Traders, do you ever feel lost? Do you ever feel unsure of what you're going to do next? Do you have trouble identifying market movement and market patterns? That's what my Monday night call is for. It's to give you the better opportunity to become more versed in markets and understanding what's going to happen next, giving you the best reads on technical analysis, helping you watch our current watch list so you can become better at trading. Now, I'm making a special offer right now that you can try that call for a $20 a month, 1 month trial, 20 bucks a month, gets you on Bubba's Monday night call, giving you all the tools you'll need to make yourself a better trader, a better investment, and a better idea of what's going to happen next in the market. It's all about technical analysis. So check it out at BubbaTrading.com. Like I said, 20 bucks a month, gives you a 1 month trial. You can check it out. That's four calls, BubbaTrading.com. Go there now, BubbaTrading.com.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Top of order, my man, my friend, Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alts, the advisor's advisor. You got to check him out. I'm telling you guys, this guy understands the entire system and the whole breakdown. All right, so Jeff, you mentioned the college debt. And just to give some people an idea what's going on here with this debt, and then I want you to finish. Auto debt and student debt is over $2 trillion, which is more than twice the size of the housing bubble in 2008. So go ahead and finish with your story on debt.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and we go through this economic downturn in 2008. And, you know, any economic downturn sort of, it resets a lot of the expectations. I mean, if you look at the real estate market and how the real estate market declined. And the one area which, you know, and obviously you had mentioned auto loans, which I think are a whole other subprime debacle that's waiting to implode. But college debt, and I guess it's close to home because my first son, my oldest son, is going to college this year, and my twin daughters are going to college next year. And you know, what college costs now compared to what it cost 20 years ago. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, it's, you know, I remember some of what real estate prices were 15 to 20 years ago, and you know, they're higher in a lot of cases, but they haven't gone up exponentially like colleges have. So the universities and colleges around the country have done nothing to lower tuitions. Hardly any of them have. And what are people doing? They're going out and taking these loans. So on both ends of the spectrum, you have the students that are coming out with massive amounts of debt, and then you have their parents, and a lot of parents are very well-intentioned, and they really, you know, parents in my generation, my wife and I set goals that we wanted to send our kids to college, and we wanted to, you know, we wanted to never have to strap them with loans, and a lot of people are like that, but they can't, you know, these people haven't saved a lot. If you look at the savings rates numbers, they haven't saved a lot, and they're having a very hard time helping their kids get out of this college debt. If they took it upon themselves, a lot of these same people are foregoing retirement, to putting their retirement further into the future. Most of the people I talk to in my generation today, they don't even talk about retirement. I mean, most of them say, I'll work till I die. And that's because of these mountains of college debt. I mean, if you come out of, one student comes out of college with a 4-year degree with 100, 200, in some cases more of college debt, that's the greatest debt that I think any segment of the population outside of primary residence that we've ever had, ever. And I think there's going to be a continued fallout from that, and it's going to create yet another negative on an economy that is relied on false information.
Well, I know college debt because I've got two in right now. It's $100,000 a year for my two kids to go to school. And I will not allow them to have debt. I mean, you know, I'll get them through it. But it's a straight 100. There's no tax deduction. There's no break from the government for sending these kids to school, which I think is another problem. But that'll be a topic. But so now autos, I say that the auto companies have mortgaged their futures by giving 10-year loans, and what looks good today is not going to look good later because they've given these people such a long time, and because nobody's got any money, that these people will hold these cars for 10 years, and there will not be the trade-ins and the built-in obsolescence and the buying the new car because, quite frankly, the average American has no money anyways. So here we are mortgaging our future by showing artificial phony sales now because of cheap money. What do you say?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's the heart of this false Keynesian philosophy, you know, that you could translate this massive amount of debt into prosperity, you know, this wealth effect. So if somebody's driving a nice car and sending their kids to a private university, you know, they feel wealthy, and if they feel wealthy, they keep continuing to spend with no regard for when the debt needs to be paid back. See, I think it translates to this bailout mindset that, you know, well, we could run up as much debt as you want and then just walk away from it, or somehow magically it'll disappear. And that's the problem I have with this whole concept of wealth effect. To me, I would rather be wealthy than feel wealthy. I would rather have no debt or as little debt as possible than feel wealthy. But if everybody had that mindset, this current Keynesian philosophy would not work. It's so dependent on leverage and debt and borrowing and cheap money that it just wouldn't work. It would implode. So what do we have? We have an economy on the precipice of a major collapse because of leverage. Exactly what always gets, whether it's individual investors, companies, or economies, national economies, into trouble, it's leverage. So we try to solve the problem of too much leverage with more leverage. And that's why I haven't trusted this rally since really 2012. I never doubted the fact that this market could continue to go up, because it's like saying, well, could college tuition prices keep going up? Of course they could. because there's this artificial element of it. But when reality finally becomes important, then people have to look at the fact that there's always an equilibrium. You know, I believe there's always an equilibrium that has to take place. In this case, the equilibrium is going to have everything to do with the debt bubble blowing up, and then financial institutions are going to have to figure out what to do with it. Well, and that's when it gets ugly.
Now, aren't all of the financial institutions in a little bit of trouble here again? And not necessarily only because of the leverage, but insurance companies, for example, their whole business, their whole model is built on taking a premium from you and investing that money, but they have no place to invest either. They're kind of forced into the equity market as well, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, and you could see it. I mean, I'm looking at what's going on with Deutsche Bank, and I got particularly interested in their demise because it became very obvious for those of us who are in the real estate world that they owned a lot of real estate, and they were liquidating real estate at prices that I felt, looking at them, were pennies on the dollar, in my opinion. And once you start seeing those that mass liquidation of assets with little regard to price, you're starting to realize that you have a financial institution and is in trouble, and of course they're proving to be in trouble. I think they're actually in more trouble than anybody could ever imagine. And the reason? Because they can't buy bonds, they're limited, even in the stock market, they're all piling into the same stocks, they're trying to outguess the market. These financial institutions have become gigantic hedge funds. And they're doing this, and this is where it gets scary, they're doing this under the assumption that if something goes wrong, the governments will bail them out. And from the people I speak to, I know without a doubt that Deutsche Bank was counting on a government bailout and is counting on a government bailout, and as well as the other banks, a considerable percentage of the banks in Italy. So they take these risks under the pressure of having no bond market to really invest in, because they've already bought up all the supplies. Yields are not supporting the expectations on their balance sheets. So they're spreading their money into other assets and getting themselves in trouble. And that's exactly where we are now with a good percentage of the financial institutions that are going to begin to, I mean, you're going to see where I have said all along.
Hold on. We'll come back to this right after the break. This is Jeff Sica from Circle Square Dolls, the advisor's advisor, my friend, although missing in action, but he is my buddy. And this is The Bubba Show. Make sure you miss a show. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download it, and we will be happy to share it with you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more from my friend Jeff Sica. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Where have you been? We've missed you on the Sunday call. Every Sunday, 6:45 Eastern time, Bubba goes over everything you need to know about options, how to trade them, what are the regular trades, what trades we're looking for, how to trade through earnings, and how to put yourself in the best position to be successful. Now, Bubba also knows that not every trade's a winner, but we get that, and what we're trying to work with is not only how to trade better, put you in the best position, but show you how to protect yourselves from bad trades and how to get out when they're not going the way that you think they're supposed to go. Every Sunday night at 6:45 Eastern time, we're here to help you setting up trades. We update them every day. We send you regular updates. All you need to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and go to the Sunday call, and you can try that now. A special $20 for the first month. Check it out. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check out the Sunday call for options. farmers and producers, we all know that you work your butts off trying to get the crops out. We all know that you're killing it trying to get done. And we all know that right now, with the extra strong dollar and all the other bad economic data around, that it's tough to even get out even. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that I offer, Bubba, a hedging program that will help you, the farmer, the producer, to lock in wherever you are and to be able to benefit from the upside as well as protecting yourself from the downside. We here at Bubba Trading believe in you guys and want to make sure that everybody gets the proper step and proper going. So go to BubbaTrading.com. Go to my hedging program. We can help you find a better broker. We can help you get better commissions. Plus the fact that you can either use the program on your own or we can help and work out a program specifically designed for you. That's BubbaTrading.com, the Farmer's Hedging Program. Come on, guys, let's get it and let's make some dough. Bubba Show listeners, have you ever thought of being a day trader? How about stepping up and trying to be a part-time day trader first before you go ahead and give up that career? Well, Bubba has the answers here. We have now developed a pattern recognition trading system that will help you pick the right entry levels so that when you have time to trade, you can day trade futures as a part-timer instead of making a full commitment to a job. You get the opportunity to test it out, see if it works for you, see how the program works, and in all circumstances will make you a better trader under any circumstances. So go to BubbaTrading.com right now. Check out our futures as a part-time day trader program right now. As trading futures part-time, give yourself the best advantage to be successful in the volatile trading world. Go to BubbaTrading.com right now. Part-time day trading. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. And have you been watching the markets lately? Have you been seeing the crumbling of the walls come tumbling down? Are you starting to get concerned about your long-term portfolio? Well, Bubba's got the answer here. We are now offering a brand new hedge strategy that has been only used by the major investment firms. And we've got all of the answers on how to protect that portfolio of yours without buying premium, without putting yourself in a bad position, and with the ability to still make money when the markets go up. So how would you like to protect that portfolio from going down and make money when it's going up? I can think of no better way to handle this. That's the hedging program. Go to BubbaTrading.com right now and check out our hedging program. We have two to offer, one for a bigger group and one for 10 people max. Check it out, BubbaTrading.com. Go there right now and check out the hedging program from Bubba Trading. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Jeff Sika from Circle Square Adults, and also being brought to you by Thinkorswim. Remember, they've got swim lessons every day from 10:30 to 12 Central Time. They've got, technically speaking, from 12 to 12:30, and the plunge from 12:30 to 1:30 every single day at Thinkorswim. Need a break on commission, just give me an email, and I'll give you help over there. But let's get back to Jeff Sika from Circle Square Adults. So, Jeff, this debt problem, this whole thing with the banks, they're going to implode once again because the governments can't be there anymore. I think the governments may be even out of bullets, but we'll get into that in a minute. So go ahead and finish your thought, please.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There's been this assumption, and if you look at the way the ECB has been handling some of the European banks, they're doing these small incremental backdoor bailouts for distressed financial institutions as we speak, and that's going to happen. That's going to happen globally, and it's going to happen in our domestic banks in the U.S. And this is what I believe is going to be the headline. The headline is going to be they did it again, and it's going to refer to the banks, just like they were blamed, and rightly so, for the collapse, a good percentage of the collapse in 2008. Investors are going to realize they did it again. They didn't change the way they did business to any great extent. As a matter of fact, they've put themselves in even greater jeopardy in terms of the way that they've invested their money, and that is going to be the headline. And the government is going to have a decision to make. And that's why this presidential election is important, and that's why other presidential elections are important, and the status of the European Central Bank is important. And what it comes down to is that when the financial institutions collapse yet again, caused by this interdependency of global banks, how is the government going to handle that? Are they going to let the weaker banks fall, or are they going to selectively save a few of the banks, or are they going to save them all, and on the backs of the taxpayers? So that's where it's going to get important, and that's where we're most vulnerable. You know, everybody zeroed in on the whole interest rate argument. You know, is the Fed going to raise rates or not? That's important in a lot of ways for the short term. But for the longer term, there's a whole structural issue that needs to be addressed. And unfortunately, the way that our history is, we address things after the fact. There's really been nothing done. You know, for example, the Fed artificially suppressing interest rates for as long as they have, that creates a distortion of asset prices. And a distortion of asset prices create greater leverage. And greater leverage, unfortunately, is still virtually undetectable in financial institutions. But my belief is that there is trillions of dollars of leverage buried under these balance sheets. And it's a very fragile, fragile interconnectivity. And when it falls apart, the reason why I'm so adamant about this message that investors should not trust this market is because it's the everyday investors that are always left holding the bag. You know, what you've been talking about all along, Todd, which you're the only one that I ever hear talking about this on a consistency basis with the intelligence that you have, is that people are just, they have unhedged equity positions, they're not diversified in the right way, they're believing the market cheerleaders out there that are out there saying, have we reached the bottom, when we're down 2% in the market, and they're asking, have we reached the bottom? That's a ridiculous question. We're not near a bottom. So why, you know, investors that hear that, they get this false sense of confidence and they let it ride. And I think it's a very bad mistake.
I couldn't agree more. And I guess this goes back to the Ponzi scheme that the Federal Reserve is built. You know, I was always a guy on the fence about the Fed. I never really liked them, but I could understand the fiat currency model. But the more I see this artificial money being created, the more I see that everybody gets bailed out and that we, the middle class, the taxpayers, have to pay for all this debt, the more I realize that the Fed is no longer, if it ever was, it is no longer valid under the charter in which they operate, because they're too concerned about the stock market. And again, the stock market, first of all, is not the only market, and it's not even close to the biggest market. The biggest market is the fixed income people. So they're really torturing all of the elderly, all the savers, all the people that don't want to be involved in the stock market, yet that's what they're doing. And I think that they're full of crap and they're building a house of cards and they're running a Ponzi scheme. If you care to comment, please do. Otherwise, we'll move on.
No, well, it's true. And, you know, you were talking about the savers, you know, the retirees, and the fact that they've lowered interest rates to this point, that they've pushed, you know, one thing, we don't work with a tremendous number of individual investors, but I keep some, and there's a tremendous percentage of investors that have been with me for years, and I look at the biggest problem that they have, which is that they have to grow their money, they have a longer lifespan now, and they take care of themselves physically, so they hope to live a long life, and they have to invest in the stock market to get, I mean, when I see senior citizens that are investing because they want dividends, or, you know, they're going in the stock that we have upgrades, which is remarkable to me that you get these technology company upgrades now, you know, that investors pile into thinking, well, this is my only choice. I think it's tragic. And I think if we go to negative interest rates, it's going to be beyond tragic for a significant percentage of the population. And then have the Fed say that they're doing so well. Nobody's doing well. I mean, I think the ultra wealthy are doing okay, but they're not doing great. That's the bottom line.
But the ultra wealthy, they spend anyways. You know, here's my breakdown of the economy. The rich, they spend no matter what. The entitled, they spend whatever they get. And the middle class, they got no money now. So they can't afford to spend, which is why retail sales suck, which is why the markets are in the tank, not the stock market, but because everything else is in the tank. And yet we continue to ignore over and say, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And I keep saying it's not going to be okay because eventually we've got to have that meeting that brings everybody together and go, you know what, we're in bad shape and there's a big problem. And if you allow people like the Federal Reserve to continue to say, well, we'll just print more money, which is, you know, a problem. And then, of course, you've got Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. Now, you may not want to comment this, and I know you may not be able to, but I'm going to make my statement, and I'll let you decide afterwards. From trading on the floor for all those years, I know that those guys are the chief spoofers in the world. And I don't have any problem with it. Spoofing is part of a life. There's nothing illegal about it. You're trying to create an artificial bid or an artificial offer. And as a trader, we used to always say, the markets go to size. So if there's a big bidder, it means the market's probably going lower because somebody's trying to hold it up so they can get some more shorts off. So when Goldman comes out with some ridiculous call of oil's going to over 50, when it's already at 48, to me, they're looking to get short. And that is one of the problems I see with the overall market is that not only do you have the people that are involved, but you've got these artificial people making calls that say, hey, the market's going higher, when really they're looking for the market to go lower, but they're making sure they can hold it up long enough until that happens. If you want to comment, fine. If not, we'll move on.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I talk to a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of traders, and I talk to a lot of hedge fund managers. And, you know, the information age is great. You know, investors think it's great when they when they have access to a lot of the same types of information that professionals have. But that I find very problematic because up to this point, there is absolutely no, there's very limited accountability to that. And we see example after example of this type of front running. Hedge funds were notorious for it, you know, especially some of the bigger hedge fund managers who I won't name, but everybody knows who they are, you know, that was taking an absolute opposite position as to what he was taking publicly, you know. And what I say is that when the smart money, and the smart money has been selling into this market for over a year now, or almost two, so it's really peak of 2014. You know, we had a lot of the smart money that wasn't publicly coming out and saying they were bearish because they just weren't. They were liquidating positions or they were trading the markets. But what always happens, and the reason why it's so important to be diligent about what you believe and what you don't believe, is that by the time some of these so-called professionals or institutions come out and say they don't like something, they've either sold it or they're looking to acquire more of it at a lower price. And anyone who doesn't believe that, we could give you 100 examples of times that's happened. And everyday investors, hardworking people, are usually the ones that get caught. And I'll give you an example. Apple. I mean,
let's talk to Apple when we get back from the break, my boy. I knew you were going to go there. This is Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alternatives, the best. The advisor's advisor, my man, owes me a pair of Allen Edmonds shoes, too. I just want to remind him because he forgot. But and I can never get a hold of him, but I love him. This is Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alternatives. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure if you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. We're now over 225,000 downloads a month. We want to get to 300,000. I need your help. This is The Bubba Show, Top of Boris. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
Tired of missing trades? Tired of missing out? Well, guess what, traders? I have got hooked up with MoneyBlock.com, our friend Andy Aronson, who does what we call letter of direction trading that can help you participate in Bubba's Sunday night call. And if you don't have time to make the trade yourself and you need somebody to watch your back for you, there's old Andy Aronson using the letter of direction that we send. He's out there managing your position for you, watching for you. And all you need to do is go to MoneyBlock.com and get a hold of Andy Aronson, or shoot me an email here at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com. We want to hook you up and make sure that you're getting the best deal. And not only are the trades done and it's done by letter direction, but the commissions are compatible and favorable to any other service that you're using. So check out MoneyBlock.com. Go to Andy Aronson. And if you have any questions, email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com. That's letter of direction trading to help you be better. BubbaTrading.com. If you're not getting the Bubba Report from us, you are making a trading tactical error. The Bubba Report is a compilation of all of the top traders throughout. There's Keith Bliss out of New York, Scott Shalady, the cow guy from Chicago, myself, Damon Verriel, and others that will help contribute to this book that give you a monthly summary of what is happening in the markets and what you can expect to happen going forward. Now, this is something that every trader is a must-have. It's a $99 a year for 12 issues of giving you market expectation and giving you a past read on what's happening in the back. All you need to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and sign up for the Bubba Report. That will give you $99 a year for 12 issues. That's at BubbaTrading.com, the Bubba Report. It's what you need to get started. The Bubba Report at BubbaTrading.com. Traders looking for that perfect platform to become a better trader and take more advantage of the markets? Thinkorswim is that platform for you. It's built by traders for traders. Gives you all the current tools that you may be wanting to use. Plus, it has the simplest ease of operation for the user. They offer classes every day to help. They call them swim lessons to help you, the trader, become better at it. You get a special rate by telling them Bubba sent you. All you got to do is reach out to thinkorswim.com, but go to the website and you'll get hooked up with my special rate with Thinkorswim. And if you're from Canada and you've had troubles getting approved before, well, we've also got the same deal with TD Waterhouse. So Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, daily classes, swim lessons every single day to make you a better trader, give you better advantage. That is Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check out the link. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Top of the hole is my main guy, Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alternatives, the advisor's advisor. This man has been around for almost as long as I have, and really has an outstanding feel of the market. In fact, when everybody was puking in 08 in real estate, my boy was buying it, but he was talking about Apple. So, Jeff, go ahead and finish your thoughts on Apple.
Yeah, just, you know, about Apple. I mean, when Apple started, when we started to see this big erosion in Apple, you know, the lack of innovation, the fact that they just kept rolling out new versions of old products, there were a lot. We were hearing a lot of the bulls out there were saying, as go Apple, so goes the market. You know, one thing I love about the internet, and the internet has some good things and bad things about it, but one thing I love is you could always confirm what somebody says. And a lot of the bulls that were out there, you know, raising targets, and the firms know who they are. You know, now they're coming out there after people have gotten crushed on this stock, and it's coming to the surface that a lot of those same bulls were reducing their positions in Apple during that time. And to me, you gotta ask yourself, who do you believe? Apple was the perfect example. As goes market, as go Apple, so goes the market. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. But I'm one of the ones. As a matter of fact, there was a period of time that I was probably the only one that I know of that was talking negative about Apple when it was at its peak, and I was getting called by everybody to come on air and bash Apple. And when I did, when it was flying, because I felt that it was going to be a very short run on that rally, I was getting hate mail. I mean, literally, people were sending me emails, violent emails. How dare you say anything bad about Apple? And now those same people who were believing in Apple are coming out now and saying, well, Apple's not that important. So, you know, that's the hypocrisy out there that investors need to be aware of.
100%. I mean, again, you nailed it on the head. And, of course, I personally called the top of Apple in their earnings in 2012 when it was 700 and said it might go to 1,000, but I think it'll probably come off here first. But anyways, so now you are very diversified, and you've been getting into the hotel space. And every time I open the paper, I see you with a shovel in your hand digging up some new ground. What's going on, man?
Well, you know, here's where we went with our money, and this is why we've been as busy as we've been, because there's a lot of people out there that are looking at the equity markets and are wanting to diversify into other types of investments. And what we find is that the only way to invest successfully, as you've said all along, is you really have to pick your spots. And where we found it is in real estate. And not buying real estate globally, not trying to compete with the institutions in New York City, but trying to find unique. We view ourselves as these demographic sharpshooters, trying to find unique deals. We're acting as merchant builders. We're doing stuff that I used to dream about, because I always loved, you know, real estate, and I always loved the whole prospect of building something and owning something. What you're talking about is there's a town in New Jersey called Montclair, and Montclair has 6 rail stations into New York City, and they haven't had a hotel in 100 years. They haven't had a luxury hotel in the town of Montclair in 100 years. So we approached a local developer that had a lot of background and experience in the town, and the town had experienced this renaissance with restaurants and a university, Montclair State University, that had grown immensely. And we said, why is there not a hotel here? And we started the process, which took years, to finally get the approvals, and we did. So now we have a beautiful Montclair Marriott under the Autograph brand, which is the boutique brand for Marriott. We have being developed as we speak in Montclair, which is going to be just a tremendous destination for people who see all the incredible growth and opportunity that is in that town. You know, and we also like anything near rail stations going into New York City. One thing about New York City is it's nice to own real estate in New York City, but I'd say 99.9% of the real estate in New York City is so high priced and owned by foreign investors that needed somewhere to deploy their cash that it's unattainable. So we're executing on this model, and we've built a Marriott, and we're building a number of apartment complexes that are right near the rail station, and it's working out quite well for us.
Well, I mean, I know you're a guy that looks, again, you realize there's a difference between what we call the short money or the short game and the long money, the wealth building, and you're more of a wealth builder. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, and I am, and I think you're among the best in terms of positioning for shorter term, but there's not a lot of people. As a matter of fact, there's hardly any people that I know of that's as proficient as you. For us, we look at it as if you are a true investor, you should have short term investments with specific structures that allow you to take advantage of short-term market moves, for example. But we believe wholeheartedly that a good percentage of your assets should be in things that have a long time horizon. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of investors have grown so oriented towards the daily liquidity that they've refrained from participating in anything that they might be in a position that they have to hold for a few years. And to me, if you want to build real wealth, multi-generational wealth, you've got to be willing to give up liquidity. And if you're not willing to give up liquidity, then stick with the short-term investments. There's nothing wrong with them, but you're going to be missing out on a good part of a good opportunity. And we've taken advantage of some of those good opportunities. And if the market crashes and we get another scenario of a real estate market that follows the equity market or vice versa, the one thing is, when you have real estate and you have value, ultimately there's a number of things you can do with that asset to enhance the value of that asset. So there's a lot of comfort in our investors to know that we're not completely out of control of the investments that we're in. We could always reposition, there's a number of things we could do, and that gives people a lot of comfort. Because when markets sell off, I think what people hate the most is they hate the feeling of being out of control. They hate the feeling of just, you know, what do we do now? And that's really where real estate allows us to take advantage of the longer time horizon that we demand.
Well, that's the longer game, and that's what my hedge model is built to do. If you want to play in the equity space, you can create the same compounding endowment model that you do. But Jeff Sica, you are always great to have on board. You always bring the facts, nothing but the facts, and I always appreciate what you do, because you are a straight-up shooter, and you don't try to manipulate. You don't try to make the markets what they're not. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Todd, and congratulations on the success of the show. It's great.
This has been Jeff Sica from Circle Squared Alternatives, my buddy, my friend, and always like to see him when I get to New York, and we like to talk on the phone. So we're going to step out here for the day, but make sure that if you ever miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm. It brings you the download of The Bubba Show, the podcast version, which is now being downloaded by over 225,000 people a month, and we're aching to get to 300,000. But you everybody have a great day. We appreciate you being here. This has been Jeff Sica, Circle Squared Alternatives, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you.
Are you reeling in the east, stowing away the time?